Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
Salutations, everybody. It is Maddie here today with episode 193 of the Ham Radio Podcast.
It's me, Carrick, with ACG.
Oh, yeah. Let's go. Okay. So, let's just get right into it, man. We're gonna cut out the fluff. We're gonna hop right to the Flickabuck intro because I wanna just get that thing out there. We gotta figure out a way for you to hear this, by the way. Flickabuck. It's the best part of the show. Anyway, if you want to support the show, keep the lights on. We got 10 new patrons this month on my end, which is pretty good for my humble little channel. Big thanks to everyone who's been joining lately. It means the world. You can go ahead and get early access to the podcast. You can also get exclusive videos for the Patreon, Discord access, and the list goes on. But like I said, we got a nice, healthy amount of topics today. Let's get right into it. Let's start off with Days Gone, which got a swath of impressions this last week. I did not have a chance to play it. A lot of YouTubers did. A lot of press did. But we have gone through some of the impressions, and we're going to give our impressions on said impressions. So, Carrick, what did you think about what you saw about Days Gone? Obviously, there was the before and after. Because beforehand, hype was low. Excitement really wasn't there. People thought the game was going to be like the Sony dud. Now we're seeing impressions come out relatively positive. Have you piqued in curiosity, or are you still kind of sitting there like, meh?
I am sitting there like, yeah. It's very hard to be. It's one of the most blasé looking titles I think I've ever seen. Like, I don't know how to describe it, mm-hmm. but nothing, even, you know, Red Dead Arthur captured me, or Odyssey, Cassandra and Alexios captured me.
Right.
Oh, like, there's something that usually captures me. And for whatever reason, nothing in that game, like, every time they show something, I'm more and more. It's almost, I don't know how to describe it, man. It's weird. And I'm sure, you know, that'll change when I play it if it turns out good. But it's just what I'm seeing. Nothing about it's made me go, oh, I see. Instead, it's just like there's some zombies, there's mm-hmm. a vet, and there's a motorbike. And the guy is Witwire, right? Sam Witwire or whatever, the guy from Star Wars Unleashed,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Unleashed.
Which I was just playing
Isn't
recently.
That the games? Oh, were you? Yeah, they just, I am right on that. Unleashed,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that what
they're
called?
You are correct.
Yeah. But I don't know, man. I don't know. I saw a couple people say it's what you expect. It's an open world game. I saw some people say it was pretty fun. But I didn't really see anybody lit on fire. I also didn't see anybody said it sucked, which is good. Like,
yeah.
I didn't see anybody, you know, hammer it.
That's the thing. I think expectations were drastically low because we're so used to riding that Sony exclusive high. Like, every game's a
right.
home run. And when we don't see them marketing the shit out of a Sony exclusive and everyone's talking about it on Twitter, I think there was the adverse effect where everyone's like, this must be absolutely awful. And when it's not absolutely awful and it's a good experience, I think
right.
a lot more people were taken back and willing to come out. And like you said, there really wasn't anyone who was like, this was bad. But to me, I think one of the best headlines I saw attached to it was actually Kotaku, of all places, which said, like, it was called, like, AAA the game, pretty much. Like, they said it's got pretty much, like, the standard for every AAA title.
Yeah.
Almost to a sense of being generic, right? Like, you've got your open world, you've got your collectible audio logs, you've got zombies, which I know, like, that's not really a standard, but, like, it fits that generic theme.
Right.
You know, there are those occasional encounters in this world, and I'm sure when you account for the motorbike stuff, like, you know, taking the gas and putting it back in, because there's, like, apparently a fuel limit you have in this.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem to have any twists and turns in the formula to really make it stand out. It
right.
seems like a standard third-person open-world game, which is sort of a Sony staple when you look at all of their exclusives. Mm-hmm. Pretty much most of them are third-person open-world titles, so I guess it kind of it fits the narrative there. But it doesn't seem to really be separating itself, and I think a lot of folks are just burnt out on zombies. I don't know. For me, after even reading the positive impressions, nothing really jumped out of the screen like, whoa, I want to play
You know
that.
What we're missing, Maddie? It just dawned on me. You just said, holy shit, it just dawned on me. There's no, this is going to sound really weird. Mm. Bear with me. There's no meter. There's no new meter, like, in the game. There's no new, there's no health, not health. There's no, like, infected meter. Like, let's say you're infected and you have to burn it down like Dead Rising. I'm not saying this is bad that it's missing. I'm saying it just dawned on me that there isn't one. There isn't anything with the alien.
Fuel, right?
Yeah, except for maybe the fuel. And State of Decay does fuel very well already. And it's a zombie game.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I noticed as I read through these impressions. Because here, I'll read this little blurb.
Yeah, please
Polygon,
do.
And tell me what game you think of. In one early scene, I'm required to work my way through an abandoned motel and gas station, picking up medicine as I go. Specifically, I need a part to fix my bike. The first time I play this level, I go stealthy, sneaking around, making use of distractions by throwing stones, and supplementing my progress with a few quiet zombie takedowns. The freakers aren't stupid, and I note their different behavior patterns. Then I play the same scene again. I try an alternative plan. I fire my weapons. I charge into melee attack. I make lots of noise. This time, there are much more challenging. It's much more challenging as freakers home in on me. They are difficult to kill en masse, but I prevail mainly by isolating my attackers. Does that sound familiar? Especially like that first part. I'm working
to
my
me,
way.
To me, it just... Yeah, it just sounds a lot like every Far Cry game.
I was thinking Far Cry. I was also thinking State of Decay, which you mentioned earlier. But that, like, that's what really jumped off the page at me. I was like, okay, this is like a AAA State of Decay, as far as I'm concerned.
Maybe so, yeah.
That may have a better story,
And may have does it have co-op though.
I don't think so. No.
Yeah. But yeah, may have a better story. Yeah.
Because what I've seen, like resource management on a, I don't want to call resource management in State of Decay light, because it's a very integral part of the design, but it's not like bend over backwards, we're going to break you,
right.
Like Darkest Dungeon, or what was that one 2D game in the house? Very, very sad post-apocalyptic game.
This War Is Mine?
Yeah, yes, that one. Yeah. It's not like that, but it's manageable, but enough to keep you engaged. And I think what you're gonna see is a lot of people who only play PlayStation games, I think, really like this, because State of Decay, you know, if, let's say those people who play the PS, you know, your bottle was completely clear there.
Is it completely clear? We joked about that. Look at that. Is that not the craziest?
Holy shit.
Is that awesome?
I lost my train of thought there. I just like, I saw you pick it up and I was like, because I see the liquid moving. I was like, there's still something in there.
Yeah, it's exactly the right color.
Oh my God, that was amazing. What I was saying was, maybe even these people who play PS4 exclusively did have a 360 and they did play the original State of Decay during the Xbox Summer Arcade, and I believe it was 2013. I think even then, that was so long ago. And it was so dated even for that time period that when people experience Days Gone, it'll be fresh. It'll be something that is exciting to them. And it's not like me and you and a lot of other Xbox players who, you know, we tinkered in State of Decay already recently. And that was
it's
even
their State of Decay.
Like exactly. I think I honestly think it's like Sony's response to it. I think that's what it's turned into, because when you read these impressions, a lot that jumps out of the page is it's a slicker, smoother version of that. Obviously there are differences, like, you know, you're not recruiting a camp and building a base and whatnot. There are absolutely identity differences, but in the terms of collecting supplies, you know, searching through abandoned places, crawling about stealthily, don't want to make too much noise or else, you know, a horde comes your way and that's a little difficult to handle, that type of stuff really sets it apart. But yeah, man, I said it's not. The only reason it's on my radar is because April seems to be, like, the low month of the year so far. Like, every month's been busy, but April seems kind of like, all right, we got Mortal Kombat, we got Days Gone. That's it.
It's also... So that's the thing, is, like, State of Decay, janky for sure, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got a pretty good mix of the way the zombies work, and it's got a very dreary, very slow... everything's falling apart kind of feel to it. And this one could probably do the same thing, but I haven't yet seen what the zombies are supposed to add. So, like, almost every game we played, Last of Us even, did their zombies, but they did it with the cordyceps mushroom, you know, or fungus, yeah, and turned it into a fungus thing.
Yeah.
So it's like, what's this game? You know, hordes, right? We've seen that, and they're fast, but Left 4 Dead had that. So what I'm wondering is, like, what's going to be the shtick to make you, to make you go, okay, this is what I want to get into, where maybe I didn't get into the other ones. Like, what's going to grab a person for this?
Right. So to clarify, because I have a point to add to that, what you're kind of asking is, okay, what's that, like, special zombie type? Because, sure, they can send hordes our way, but, for example, the Left 4 Dead 2, I'll bring up what you mentioned, had the...
fast zombies.
The witch, though, that, like, yeah, that was kind of like an additional layer. I forgot her name exactly, but... they had that one girl who was incredibly powerful and really creepy and was like, oh, God, it's her. Like, we don't want to shoot her. We want to avoid her. And it had, like, a layer of tension. I think what Days Gone's approach of that is maybe... let's see here. We've got human scavengers that you can encounter.
Sure. Okay.
There are small childlike freakers called newts. Hanging around in packs, looking to exploit the weak and wounded. In life, they were children, adolescents, in the carefully parsed language of the game's PR. Now they are little more than animals.
Hmm.
So, little kid zombies, that could be
That would be sort of creepy, to be honest.
Yeah, a little bit
especially
creepy.
If, like, what if you're hurt, and that's only when they come out, because it said they go on the weak and wounded. So, like, what if you're hurt, and they hear maybe the sound of blood causes them in particular to come out? That could be pretty cool.
It says, by nature, I'm inclined to towards avoiding fights where I can, but the game also rewards me for taking out enemies. When you kill a freaker, you can collect one of its ears, and then you trade those for currency, which allows you to boost weapons and buy stuff. So could that be it, too? For some reason, the ears are the currency.
I don't know, but the idea that you're chopping off the ears of children is fucking awesome.
Yeah, that's kind of fucking ridiculous.
That is.
I've never heard something like that before. That's pretty grim.
That's pretty grim. Yeah, so that's pretty grim.
I guess maybe the hook here... as we look deeper, is you've got different types, but generally they all seem to hang in packs. Like they said, I don't want to shoot near a freaker because then more come and attack me. I don't want to get hurt because then the newts come out and chase me while I'm weak, at least based off what is said in this article.
Yeah,
but then you want to engage with them
so.
Because you want the currency so you get stronger, so then the hordes don't matter.
Also, I saw a lot of environmental kind of weaponry where, like, people are blowing things, which, yes, it's been done. I certainly don't want to say it's never been done before, but it seems like that might be a big deal in this game, using environmental things to, like, protect you to stop the zombies blowing things up. It'll also depend on if they're just there. How many games have we seen? It's like, red barrel. I know I'm supposed to shoot the red barrel, and if gas matters so much, the gas cans wouldn't be sitting around because people would collect those obviously as their own kind of currency. So that'll be interesting to see. Also, he is a vet, right? If I remember right, he's a vet. He's a war vet. So, you know, can you set up traps and stuff? Like almost like Viet Cong traps. Can you set up, like, you know, tree fucking trunk spiky swings and shit, which could be great for taking, like, imagine causing a horde to come up a hill that you have a trap set up and they hit it, you take out 40, 50 zombies with one huge, you know, with one huge punji pit kind of trap.
Hey, this will help because we were talking about meters earlier, and I'm sure someone beat us to the punch in the comments at this point.
But, yeah, probably.
But yeah, they say focus is one of 3 meters along with endurance and health. It allows me to slow time, make use of the combat wheel, which is a sophisticated, powerful piece of the interface. It brings up weapons and explosives as well as decoys, health boosts, and on-the-fly crafting. I've played with a lot of combat wheels, but this one feels like it's been designed with due care and attention.
Okay, cool.
So there is that third meter. But see, I'm not hating, by the way. I should specify this. But this kind of reminds me of how I felt about Middle-earth. Shadow of Mordor.
Gears of Shadows, Shadowing, whatever. Yeah. I know what you mean.
Yeah, and it did a lot of things very well. I'm talking about the first one, by the way.
Uh-huh.
Because I know the sequel, a lot of people had gripes with, but the first one, it did a lot of things well. It stole a lot of people's hearts. It wowed a lot of people. But everything it did well was done in another game. And it was almost a mishmash of 40 different concepts from other games outside of the Nemesis system. That was its own original thing. But it was all these different concepts from other games that they put into their title. So they're like, hey, let's do Free Flow. Let's do Assassin's Creed Towers. Let's do, you know, the Ubisoft objective system. Let's do all
Assassin's Creed Battle. Like, there was, it was legitimately multiple things from other games just smashed together.
Exactly. And Lord of the Rings. And that's what I'm getting from this. You know, it's got the focus meter, which how many meters have we seen slow down time and let me open up the weapon wheel or
I wonder if it means like maybe you can't, what if you can't pause this, Maddie? And like the focus is how you do the weapon wheel while not getting right? So maybe, you know, like a Dark Souls, even though I know, so maybe you can only pause while you're at a camp or something, but any other time the focus, you have to, you know, you need to be a certain amount of focus so that you can slow that time down and use that weapon wheel and switch out quicker than you normally would. Mm-hmm. Reload quicker, maybe switch weapons quicker. I could buy into that. I'm still not into it though. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. Like,
I think the most popping thing was like the currency. I think that sounds cool because that's like a mix between like, do I fight and kill now or do I just run and live another day? I would like if there was a minor penalty for if you die, because then, you know, what happens if, I'll kill these zombies, they kill me, and you're like, whatever, okay, I'll just avoid them this time. What if you had a little penalty for dying or something along those lines? I think that would have been really smart for the game, because it doesn't, from what I've read across the board, nothing's mentioned about.
Do you think, though, that it's like Spider-Man, where if you die, you have a checkpoint? Because I would rather have a checkpoint than, like, an open, like, because otherwise you're alive forever, right? Like, if, you know what I mean? So I don't want my guy dying and then being...
It fights like, against the concept of the game if you have a penalty.
It does.
Yeah. I guess you can just go into combat, fuck up, and I'm not saying that every game has to punish you if you fuck up, but more so it's just that trade-off there of do I kill or do I not becomes a little less tense because you know there's no...
real penalty.
Exactly, right? It's like, if I succeed here, I blow them all up with a grenade, for example, and steal all their ears, which is a sentence I didn't think I'd be saying in 2019, then you benefit. But if you fail and you just load a checkpoint and you get all your shit back.
It'll be very cool if, whatever they do, if... I sort of like the idea of the focus stuff. It depends on how many zombies are also in the game world. Because that's another thing I see them. You see those big hordes. But if there's not a lot of zombies in the normal spots and there's a lot of ability to move around and stuff like that, that could be really cool because then you do have that tit for tat of like, when I am making sound, firing, what have you, those hordes come. But if not, then I can sneak around and do what I need to do, but I'm not gaining focus. I do like all those elements for sure. If we're not doing what we did Spider-Man that one time and suddenly I was off on a tangent talking about fucking co-op Spider-Man suits. Like, I don't want to do that and get too blown out of proportion, but here, I mean, some of that sounds cool.
I think this would be a great thread to dig into here. There are a lot of takes, so I'm not going to go through all of them, but I'm on Reset Era and there's it's like a preview thread, and so it's kind of got a general summary of what most people had to say about the game. So we'll start off with Push Square. A Days Gone, though, it is exactly what you expect it to be, but perhaps that's a reductive way of looking at things. The production values are almost on par with Sony's premier first-party studios, which is impressive when you consider Ben's back catalog. And the gameplay loop appears to be very strong, limited resources lending a real sense of tension to each and every encounter, whether they're with the living or the living dead. The bike adds a unique twist as it becomes your sanctuary out in the field, and something that you need to plan around. But its own idiosyncrasies aside, this isn't reinventing the wheel. And if you're burned out on franchises like Far Cry, boom, you said that earlier, then only expect Deacon St. John's inaugural outing to rip up the rulebook, even if it does look like he has a rebellious streak. Press Start says Days Gone has the potential to be another stellar game in the first-party lineup, but a little less confident than I have been in the past few years with games such as God of War and Horizon. Everything is there, but it'll be how well it's brought together over a 30-hour period. Let's see here. Power Up says, there's a great deal more that I want to see out of Days Gone. Thus far, it's a huge open world filled with zombies, hordes, human enemies. I even saw a zombie bear in another player's screen. But what's really having me intrigued is the world building, modding your bike, and reputation, and building reputation with camps around the world. We read from Polygon... we always go from Game Informer on this show. I also learned that off-roading isn't off-limits. that each botched landing or collision has consequences. If you're methodical about looting, you'll generally be all right. As with the gunplay, the bike's overall handling seems significantly improved since I last played it. There's a nice sensation of weight to it, and it's about it sounds absolutely amazing. They did cheat us on to the second tier of upgrades, so I can't say with certainty how the upgrade paths flow or whether it requires a lot of grinding. The bike is a constant part of your journey, so it'll be a worthwhile investment regardless. All right, sorry, now go on.
Well, I was going to say, do you know what all these comments remind me of? And especially because some of them are using like completely different descriptions than others, that they also came away with it not knowing exactly how to explain it.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So, like,
I know exactly what you mean, yeah.
I've had US Gamer on the channel a couple times on streams. Usually I would say I align with him. Like there's been multiple times where we've worked together and I sort of know where he's coming from. Like I like his context. But he described something completely different than Game Informer, which was somewhat different, at least from Polygons. And that's also different from Jason, the journalist.
Jason Schreier. Sorry, I was
trying. Yeah. No, that's all right. I apologize. You have all those people all using sort of almost like their own verbiage because there isn't verbiage that's driven in. So, for example, there was a verbiage driven in with Horizon, robots, dinosaurs.
Right.
Apocalypse, right? Here, it's all a lot of the stuff we've already sort of picked up on. Mm-hmm. But one thing, this is going to sound like such a stupid bitch, so I want to make sure nobody thinks I'm actually would ever hold this against a game. Deacon St. John might be the worst name I've ever heard in my life when it comes to the generic deacon, religious, St. John, religious, oh, but he's anti-government. That, like, something about that just seems a little...
almost too forced. Intentional. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Whenever you see a preview, I almost like it when they all hate one thing or like one thing because then I know they all came out of it with something that was focused by the game. This game it feels very unfocused. Even in the coverage, it feels like they're unfocused and they didn't know how to describe it. This is what happened with Watch Dogs 2, by the way. Watch Dogs 2, there was the, oh, we're hackers. But once the hacker jokes were done, there wasn't a lot of emotional resonance for everybody to say, this is how I felt about this one thing, because it was just sort of blasé about it. Mm-hmm. It was just sort of here. And right now, like, I haven't heard a single word of any of those previews that you read that even indicates traps, for instance. And if they were a big deal, I think one of those guys would have said, but one of the amazing parts was putting down traps, right?
There's a constant theme throughout all these previews that is, I enjoyed what I saw, but I didn't know X, Y, or Z about this part of the game, right?
Man, I don't know, dude. I don't know. That's nerve-wracking.
And that's why I, like, as you dig in, I'm like, you know, you guys saw clearly a vertical slice. That seemed to be the case. Like, they saw a very, cut this out, show them it. They're like, yeah, they didn't show us the second tier of upgrades because why? The game comes out in a month. It's clearly done, right?
Yeah. So, zombie bears, we got that. So zombie bears could indicate the ability of it to pass to animals, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
But is zombie bears the only thing? Because are there zombie chipmunks? Can the chipmunks kill you? Can a zombie bear cause you to get zombified? Have they covered if you can become a zombie, if that's even a worry in the game?
I think that would be mentioned in one of the previews, right?
Right. So how's everybody else a zombie and not you? Maybe you're not allergic. What's the term? Immune to it. Mm-hmm. Measles. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you are immune to it, then why would a bear, because humans and bears usually, you know, for the most part, wildlife doesn't, you know, exactly translate to humans with their diseases. So it's a little blasé. It's a little bit unfocused in what everybody's saying, which scares me.
I mean, I think Metro has the most straightforward take of them all. They say, because I was scanning while you were talking, they say the bike controls are fine, the gunplay is fine, the stealth is fine, the dialogue is completely bland, but still better than many games, and the graphics are good, but not amazing. Limited, no doubts, by the processing power needed to have so many zombies on screen at once. I think that's probably the most, like, direct, like, here's what's good, here's what's bad take out of
that is out of any of those, yeah. Jason Schreier, I thought, if that's mm-hmm. who I remember, he did tweet, and I remember he said something like something about open world, and then was like, but does nothing special, which I think is what we're going to find out until people play the full game. and you get the story, because the story might be the big part, 6 hours in a 30-hour game or cutscenes. So that was one of the things they announced, last week, where they said there's about 6 hours of cutscenes.
Some people
no, but that's a lot of story.
That is a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah. It's 20. That's 6 hours in a 30-hour period. It's a lot of story, which I think indicates it could be cool. Because you know what, dude? We don't always need, you and I have talked about this. Look at Spider-Man. It didn't necessarily have the best open world aspects, but it had a cool story. Mm-hmm. Hey, if they can nail it with the story, and they're not like State of Decay, where it's a little bit more procedural,
right?
I'm okay with that.
Right, because what could happen is you could have what Spider-Man did. You know, tailing off your example, I thought Spider-Man had a serviceable enough world, but you had strong gameplay and story to really kind of level
book
up
in those field. Moments.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, this could happen here where we can have, you know, I guess a pretty solid gameplay system, a serviceable one, but the story could be the thing that brings it over the top.
Yeah. It could be very cool to see them do a game that doesn't overstay its welcome. Because we are getting into the point to where you can't beat Odyssey. The fucking thing's 200 hours. As in, you can't beat it time-wise without, you know, having millions and millions of dollars. And this doesn't. You can't beat Horizon because they have dinosaurs and robots, which is, it's like a combo. That's like fighting Mike Tyson. He's already kicked your butt.
Right.
So to me, if they say, hey, you know what? We can't beat State of Decay. We're going to add some of these different elements, but we're going to thrust a story in here that's actually... You know, then you're looking at almost a Last of Us kind of situation, where Last of Us was the same way. Lots of story, but not really a huge open world when you really consider how there wasn't a lot of things to do. And in a way, that could be very cool. What if he's on his way somewhere?
Right.
Like, or what if he needs to do something? Telly can be on his way somewhere. What if he's dying? And this is, this is like about him dying. Like, it could be very cool. That could be, honestly, that makes me more excited in a weird way.
I think the difference between this and, for example, Last of Us is The Last of Us seemed to have more of a, like, each section was incredibly focused, and when you encountered gameplay, like, three people could be extreme threats, and I think the animations were some of the most fascinating you ever saw. Like, you punch a guy, and then if you're close enough to a wall, you sort of, like, forearm shove him up against that wall. If there's, like, a glass on the table next to you, if you keep hitting the melee button, like, you'll just grab that naturally and smash it over his head. That type of stuff is what I think really brought a game like The Last of Us over the top, where this, I don't think a ton of zombies on screen really does the trick. You know, I think we've already been exposed to that a lot of times. So what's going to have to do the heavy lifting, essentially, would be the story and the gameplay. Because, you know, certain special selections aside, like, we'll say a Bioshock, I'd say that the audio tape days for me aren't nearly as impactful. I feel more connected when I see something unfold, or if it's kind of like a treasure trail sort of thing, like you find a note and then you kind of environmentally, you know, you pick up cues on the map and you track to the next note. That stuff is more interactive, and I appreciate that more than just listening to the audio of someone getting shot and going, oh no, man, what a nightmare, right? Like, I don't connect as deeply with that anymore nowadays. I think it's a bygone method, and now with technology and storytelling moving forward, I think it's got to be done in other ways. But we will see in due time. If Days Gone is a hit or a miss, it comes out April 26th. So now let's move on to the opposite end of the spectrum with JRPGs. So... Octopath.
Very opposite end.
Yeah, completely.
Unless it was like a fucking Sims, there's no other opposite end.
Yeah, and I mean, we're not even talking about a console game at this point. We're talking about a mobile title. So Octopath Traveler is getting a prequel game on mobile. The rest of these reports, by the way, come from Game Informer, and I think, one of them is from a different writer. Normally it's Imran Khan, but this time Jason Guisao is also in this mix. So anyway, all credit to them. Let's read the article. Square Enix is seemingly happy with the Switch release of Octopath Traveler, announcing that it has shipped 1.5 million copies since its release last summer. They're so happy that they're expanding the series out and putting the next game in the series on iOS and Android. The new Octopath Traveler game adapts the same style and gameplay from the Switch version, which explains why Square Enix patented the HD 2D phrase a little while ago. The prequel game also makes some additions to the battle system, now incorporating 8 players into battle. I didn't know that. Higher than the Switch game. While Square Enix has hinted that the series will also likely get a console sequel in the future, for now, Octopath fans have a mobile game to tide them over that functions nearly identical to the Switch game with a brand new story. Square has also teased projects related to Bravely Default series as well, but those could end up being mobile ports too. Mm. You never got a chance to play Octopath, right?
I did not.
Oh, what a great game. Everybody says so.
I think it probably is one of the best on the Switch.
I really think so. Because when you play it, it could actually sort of slot a bit into one of those categories we were sort of putting Days Gone in of the, oh, it does a lot of things well. Now, I think its art style is what makes it stand out. And I think its combat system is only done by Bravely Default, which is from the same company who made it. So it's sort of a company identity. But, you know, there are a lot of JRPG tropes in here. But
right.
it ended up being one of my favorite games of this year, or last year, sorry, because it just by the end, when it all wrapped up, it wasn't even like, oh, that was such an endearing ending. Like, once it concluded, you spend 80 hours, 100 hours with the game. And I think that lasting impact when I walked away and said, that was a good game, and I'm happy I played that. It's hard for games of that length, especially nowadays, man, where every game's got to be so fucking long. It's really special when a game can leave a good taste in your mouth after such a long journey. Because
you know what's weird? Yeah. It reminds me of something, Maddie. But it's not the same. I don't know why it's reminding me of this, but the way you're describing it reminds me of the South Park games. Mm. For summary, as in how I feel about them when I'm done. I mean, mm-hmm. where like they're that length of game, the cool role playing, and then when you're done, you're like, wow, that was fun. Like, that was just an incredibly solid game, and you have some good memories.
Exactly, man. Because like. You know, there are games that I'll always remember Kingdom Hearts 3, I think. I know that game is flawed in many ways. We've talked about that a couple episodes ago. But, like, I don't think a game will ever break me at the end as much as that one did. Because that series was attached to me growing up, and so many life moments were attached to it that, like, it just the ending was so impactful. But it
right.
doesn't always have to be, like, how can we hammer the gamer? How can we make them cry? How can we make them excited? Like, sometimes they just tell their story. They wrap up nicely. They understand what they're doing. They understand the type of game they are, and in turn, you just kind of walk away like, that was really good, you know? And that's the thing, is when I beat Octopath Traveler, I was like, that's probably not going to be on my Game of the Year list. But as time went on, it just like, it's almost like digesting food. Just over time, I got to digest the experience. I was like, wow, you know, that was actually really phenomenal, and there's nothing quite like Octopath Traveler. And that's me also telling those of you who are listening, who have a Switch, that if you're into JRPGs, you should give it a look. I think it's a bit of a slow roll in the beginning because you got to get all 8 party members, and each of them mm-hmm. have their own stories, and they're not necessarily interconnected until the end, so they feel like just 8 separate people, but in a group, so to say, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. It's one of the game's flaws, but I think when it all ties together at the end, it does it in a very marvelous way, which usually is a pet peeve of mine. In JRPGs and stories in general, I usually can't stand the, at the end, oh, look, you're all connected somehow, but... the way they do it in this game actually makes legitimate sense. It ramps up in a pretty mature fashion. So to see that there's a prequel, the game had some really cool characters that didn't have a chance to, I don't want to say be fully explored, but some side characters that I would have loved to know more about. And knowing that there's a prequel, I don't know if it's out now or if it's on the way. Is it out now? I'm curious. Hold on. Prequel. Release date. We'll try that. Square Enix says it plans to release the mobile game in Japan this year, but a North American release date has not been confirmed. Damn it! Why does this happen? This is why I'm learning Japanese, because this would not bug me at that point. I don't have to be bothered at that point. Well, anyway... I think that's fantastic news. Does this get you more interested in the series?
Yeah, if it's... So, here's the problem. I have an older phone. So, like, it also depends on if... Not super old, but, like, at least a year or two. So, it also depends on how it'll run.
Right. I don't think it'll be super demanding, just based off what the game looked like on the Switch. I mean, it ran on Unreal Engine 4, but... It was a 16-bit, as they say, HD 2D type experience.
If I hear more people talking about it... And you know how it is where like you have some time and people are talking about it in your chat or something.
Right.
Then honestly, what would probably happen is I would probably just go to the Switch version. Like, it's just one of those things where it hit, and I'm pretty sure I was just busy. And it was like, I mean, and it also probably didn't hit me graphically exactly perfect. But,
oh, really? See, I thought that was like the most enticing part.
Well, that's because once I saw the streams, it was. But when I first saw it, it wasn't. It was when I needed to see it moving.
Mm-hmm.
There was something about the screens that were not working for me. And then once I saw, like, because I watched your stream. And then once I saw that, I was like, okay, this is actually more for me. And then again, I think I was just too busy. So
yeah,
to me,
that was July 2018.
Yeah, if it comes up, there's probably a chance that most likely I would end up just going ahead and getting the Switch version.
Right on. Yeah, I think the premise of a sequel could be really cool for this game, just based off how the story wrapped up. And I'm talking about, for those who have played the game, I won't spoil it, but like the true ending. Like I said, it closed some threads, but it left some stuff open where you're like, oh man, like I want to spend more time in this universe. And I think with some solid feedback, they can do some really special things with the story and create like one of the best JRPGs easily. Because Octopath Traveler is fantastic, but I don't think it's like a best of all time type JRPG experience.
Right.
But the sequel, for sure, if they listen to some things with storytelling, I think that's the only thing that was really holding it back, because it really takes a decent amount of time to get a flow.
To get rolling.
Because literally it plants the seed for 8 different stories, one chapter after the other. So you're just repeating chapter one, chapter one, chapter one. And they're all level gated, so you got to be like level 26 to go to chapter 2. So you got to play
that might have
story.
Stopped me too, to be honest.
Right, so you're bouncing around all these different stories, and it can get a little bit taxing on those who just want to have like a straight run through a narrative. But that's why late game, when you hit the 40-hour mark, which I know sounds like forever, but I mean, like, there's a lot of interesting things going on early on to keep you hooked. But once you get that 40-hour mark, and you're like, okay, it's easy to level everyone up, and I can bounce mm-hmm. between these stories. With much ease, that's when it really takes off, because now that everyone's leveling up fast, you can just go to whatever story point you want and kind of straight shoot it. But like I said, it does take time, and that's one of the flaws with the game. So I do hope they're listening, which I imagine they are. They seem to be wanting to expand. I'd say that's why they're making this move, you know, reach out to more people.
Yeah, for sure. Reach out to more people. And a game that works perfect. Mm-hmm. Or could work perfect on that technology, too.
Yeah, but I think actually, now that we say that, it might be for the adverse effect of kind of what you said. You were like, if I hear enough good things about the prequel, I'll go play the Switch version.
Exactly.
And I think that's exactly. What they know.
Yeah. And if it's really cool, I mean, I'm assuming the mobile version is going to cost less, which is pretty normal.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what I'll probably do is, like, if I end up going back and playing the normal version on Switch, then if the mobile version is $4.99, $14.99, I'm sure it won't be $60. I've never seen a mobile version be that much.
I think it'll be free to play. I think I read it would be free to play with microtransactions.
Then they'll, yeah, then there'll just be a higher chance of me going and getting it.
Cool. All right. Moving right along, we've got ourselves a little Battle Royale chat. This one will be interesting. So, basically, the developer, the director, I'm sorry, Hidetaka Miyazaki, for Dark Souls, is interested in making a Battle Royale game. So in an interview with Telegraph, he had said that he would like to... He said these games are definitely fun, and they're definitely interested in the patterns they are taking, and if they did it, it might be different, but we're definitely interested, and there's definitely the possibility of that in the future. We'd love to take a crack at them someday. So that would be... That would be something else, man, because what you're seeing now is a genre where developers, like, see the popularity.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, everyone wants to take their shot and insert something into this genre. And, oh, my God, if the Dark Souls director did something, you know it'd be, like, grueling, tough as shit. But I imagine it wouldn't be, like, a 99-player thing. I think it would be a more condensed, like, 12 players.
Yeah, and they've tested multiplayer, you know, on Dark Souls and stuff like that.
Right.
So, yeah, the idea of this, I was, a lot of us were talking about it in the Discord and talking about, oh, you know, what does this mean for them? I don't think it means anything other than that's just a director saying we see what's popular. Not that we're going for it,
mm-hmm.
but we see what's popular and we would like to try something there. I think most likely those are the guys that would look, try something, and then if it didn't work, they wouldn't force it, which would be my hope. I would hate to see those guys, or, you know, somebody who's known for fairly good long-term success, to be like, yeah, we tried BR and just have it fucking suck. Because, dude, BR is hard. Like, people think BR is easy. Go look at how many games on Steam are BR, Maddie. There's fucking 800. and they're all dead. They're all dead. And yeah. Apex comes out, nails it technically, by the way, which a lot of BRs don't day one. It didn't have a ton of, I was able to get into games for the most part. Like, so it's a hard space to enter. So the idea of like 60, yeah, I agree. I don't think they would do that. But the idea of maybe somehow, like, imagine 6 against 6 or something. Or, you know, or teams of three, right? Like, imagine teams of three where you have a character where you can hold everybody with, like, a, you know, trap them on the ground for a second, and then you got your fast character leaping in, doing some damage, and, you know, you could have some cool stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, like I said, I think if they did a Battle Royale game at all, it'd probably be more condensed. I agree with you on, like, when they express interest, like, I think there's a lot of sizzle on that word, is interested in making a Battle Royale game. I think people forget that they're humans, so, like, they think, like, the big name, like, Miyazaki, like, represents all of From Software, and he will make the call. And to a sense, he can. He's a director. But, you know, we've heard plenty of directors express interest in various genres, various types of games, but they don't happen just because they're interested in it. Like, these guys are creators, right? Like, I'm interested in 5,000 different projects I could do. I'm sure you are, too. I'm sure many game directors are, but it doesn't mean that they're always going to pursue those. But
exactly.
I would definitely love to see them try something like that, right? Because there's certain developers that you hear, like, I'd say a Bethesda Game Studios, I'd hear Battle Royale. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago when they announced the DLC, and we said that the Nuclear Winter, I think it was called, mode or whatever. We were like, oh, it's a Battle Royale. Oh, that could be interesting. But also, like, I don't think of BGS as a company who can make a good VR experience. But I think of someone like a Dark Souls director in FromSoft, and that would be really cool to see, I feel.
Yeah.
Because it's more meticulous. It would be, it would definitely craft its own identity. And I think that's what makes those VR experiences stand out.
Yeah. Yeah. So do I. Also, price. Like, what would those guys price it at?
Yeah.
What would it offer? Because I'm going to be honest, Apex, for example, I've really stopped playing because it's only one map. And yeah, I get it. People get mad about that. But for me, like, each one offers something different. And it feels like theirs would be completely different than, let's say, PUBG, which is different than Apex. I actually think they're one of the few that could probably do something that would fit and be unique enough for people to want to jump in and watch.
Right. I don't know why, because I'm thinking of, like, For Honor, because I've been playing it recently. Great
game
still to me. Yeah. I was just thinking of, like, how the teams are assembled in that, how the combat is, and something of a Soul-style game, but with a similar approach to map design that game has, where it seems like in that game you can take out people environmentally. It's very much, you know, you can get in kind of deadlocks where you're sort of circling each other with your weapons ready and you're waiting for someone to strike first. There's an amount of intensity to that. And I imagine bringing that tension into a BR where, you know, it's one-on-one. At the end, you're in the middle of the circle. It's you and some samurai or something like that. And you're both just, like, squared up, ready to attack. And it's this epic setup for a final battle to get the victory. That type of stuff would be really cool to see in BR, I think. Because we're always talking about looting guns and putting attachments on those guns. But imagine if you could swap out your blade for something. You get a different hilt, a different handle, different set of armor. Armor is a pretty standard thing. Shields, rather. But imagine, like, different plates of armor, that type of stuff. I think that would be cool, a very cool addition to the BR genre.
Also, they have bonfires in Dark Souls, so it's like you could work something around bonfires. Mm-hmm. You know, there are definitely some things you could work out.
Absolutely. I would love to see it, pretty much, is what I'm getting at. All right. And now we shift over to DMC5, which is really making the waves, Capcom in general is. And let's talk about that. So you played it, you reviewed it. General thoughts, general consensus?
Yeah, I mean, other than the level design, which, make no mistake, like, it definitely is, I mean, it's definitely, you run from one spot to the other, it locks you off, you do battle. It's all about the battle system and the complexity there. I would warn people, don't play it on easy. Don't play it on the normal difficulty. Unfortunately, you can't switch during the game, but if you play it on easy, it's pretty easy. So
really? I wouldn't have thought.
Yeah, it's redonkulous, to be honest. And so the normal difficult, so you have human, demon hunter, and then another one, and I don't know if it's a spoiler, so I'm not going to say the name of the third difficulty, but there's one that unlocks. And
I heard about that one.
That one that unlocks seems to be probably what you would consider to be medium hard. I find this game to be one of the easiest Devil May Cry's ever, but I think that's because it's not really about that. It is all about the rating. It's almost like it's changed. In the past, it used to feel like games were about rating because the difficulty was high. Mm-hmm. Here it really is about style. It's not trying to prove you're up against enormous odds, because you're not. You're all demon hunters. So they do the power fantasy pretty well, because you are demon. You should be able to kick all these dudes' butts. But do you look cool? And the game is about that. Let me tell you, there's entire cutscenes all about how amazing you look. There's a weapon you get, and a cutscene that occurs that you're just like, when it happens. I mean, I was sitting here, and it happened, and I was laughing so hard, going like, "What in the fuck is happening right now?" Like, it's hilarious. And so, I would say it is a great game, as long as you understand it's not open world, right? It's not open hub. It's not Dark Souls with the twisting and turning, unlocking shortcuts. There's a couple shortcuts. There are certainly some secret areas you can find, but it's not about that. It's about if you're a person who likes looking cool, it'll rate you on that. Mm-hmm. It'll rate you on how cool you can take out guys. If you do not want to and you want to play the story, you absolutely can without looking as cool, and you will have no problems with that. So
let's say you have not played a single DMC game.
Make sure to watch the video, because I watched that video like 4 times, and I played some, and I still didn't remember all the story. So there's a video that's like the history of DMC. So make sure you, and it's cool because they say DMC 1 and they tell you a story. DMC 2, they tell you the story. So that was cool, because then you could go 1, 2, 3. It didn't just go blur. Here's this fucking giant story and you're trying to figure it out. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4. And then I would say, if you haven't, the easiest equivalent would be like, oh shit, what is an equivalent? Nier, but much easier.
Nier was already, well, Nier's hard on hard.
Nier could be hard. Nier could be hard as you went up, yeah. And I would say that there are a couple battles that are, you know, I died, like, but you have the ability to buy or find these gold orbs that allow you to resurrect, plus you can buy resurrection with your blood money, the blood you gain, and that's not incredibly difficult to get.
Sounds like Ninja Gaiden 2, although that didn't rate you on style, it was significantly easier than I thought the first entry, and it gave you a lot of items along the way, and just kind of decked you out for just being a fucking ninja demon slaying badass.
Yeah, and here's the thing, stupidest microtransactions in a game ever, and I'll tell you why. Those fucking microtransactions are not going to help you learn how to do a combo, because the combos aren't normal. They're not XX. Well, some are like XX old X, right? That's like your first combo. By the time you get to the fourth or fifth combo, it's like XX switch swords, XY switch X. You're a fucking person who buys a bunch of microtransactions, which is the money. The only thing they're really going to get out of that is resurrection. But guess what? You're still going to get your ass kicked if you don't like pick up on the complexity of the battle system. And that is one thing. It is complex as fuckaroo. Like,
right.
There are some skills where, and they don't tell you, they tell you most of them, but then there's like, once you figure out that one or two weapons can, I wouldn't call them infinitely be switched out, but you can mix and match. For example, if you and I were playing and you didn't buy the double jump or the jump off an enemy's head, then your secondary part of your combo is going to be completely different than mine. But if you do, then you can actually short stroke it. And so instead of holding A to leap, you slide your finger off A real quick to the attack, and you can sort of spin the attack and then do that. And then if you do certain moves, they reset your double jump. So you can like be in the air for a long time if you buy certain skills and if you know how to do those certain things. So it's very complex to make it look cool and to give you the SSSX Extreme, that's the highest rating you can get.
A new game plus for you to carry over those skills?
There is a new game. Yeah, there is a new game plus. And it basically just ups the difficulty. It's the name, I won't say, but I even blurred it out in the review because I didn't know if people would consider it. So it's not really, you can consider it a spoiler, I guess. But you get that. But the cool thing about the new game, dude, is every enemy you kill, and I showed a little bit of this in the footage, in the first game, they're announced. So it's like, shush, who's the bad guy? And it shows him staring at you. And then it's like, fight. But in the next, when you unlock the next difficulty, you get that, but then it takes a picture like an Instagram. And it sounds stupid, but that was actually pretty cool. So, like, it's like bug Instagram, because a lot of the guys you fight are insects and fucking demon bugs. That's and funny. So he'll be like, you know, have this goofy look on his face, and it's like Instagram, and then it shows like a little blurb from Nico, the girl you're traveling with, which right. I thought was actually sort of cool. And it wouldn't be worth replaying at all just for that, but it was cool. It was cool to collect those, because you collect them and then you can see them in your library.
Cool.
And all that stuff.
Cool. And I saw there was like a multiplayer mode, right?
That's called the cameo mode. So some levels you can be together, but many of them they're on the side. And you see this in the single player too, because it'll take data from the internet and make a ghost, basically, of the other player. So as you're fighting, you'll hear, and you'll be like, what is that? And you can go to like a cliff and look off, and there's another character fighting.
Wow.
And what happens there is some levels allow you to choose up to three different characters to go through them, and you'll see them doing their stuff on a different part, because sometimes the way you go through the world is different. Also, the other character that is not Dante and is not Nero, his name's V. He's easily got the best fighting skill ever in the game. I think it's not even close. It's weird. And, like, I would have loved to have been able to play every level with that guy. Like, when you finally get him, because you go through a couple levels, this is about a 24 level game. You don't even start the story really till about the 12th or 13th level, because the rest are sort of flashback things. And you get him, and dude, I'm telling you, it changes. Like, you're just sitting there. In fact, I was sitting there going, am I doing this right? Like, I don't understand. Am I fighting the way what is happening right now? Like, is this the way I'm supposed to fight? And because it changes everything. It's much more ranged, I guess, would be the easiest way to describe it. And it was awesome. Like, I made a joke about him looking like Danzig, who's a lead singer of a rock band, but he's like this emo, super skinny, tats, vest. He looks like a goofball. He's got his little cane. But when you start using his specials and shit, it's fucking awesome. He's so fun. So cool. Fun. And so different.
Right on. No, I'm excited to eventually play it, because right now I'm playing Metro. I got to get on Metro, because like I've only played it on stream. I haven't touched it since my last stream. It's just something hasn't it's a phenomenal game, I think. It's just, I think its characters haven't grabbed me, and that's what's I haven't like felt called back to the experience.
Lack of voice, as you said, on his part.
I think it is really, a real I noticeable think it's really thing hurting my drive to come back, which is weird,
for sure,
because it was one of my most anticipated, and I was like, man, I'm getting hyped, like, man, Metro, I've always loved Metro. But I think the way they executed some of that, the lack of voice, which can be done all right in games, has really harmed my interest in coming back.
Pointed out something to me, Maddie. You pointed out something I didn't even pick up, which is that they make you, by their actions, feel like you should talk, which other games haven't done it with a silent protagonist, so it's not as bad. But you're the one who mentioned it. You're like, dude, they make me feel like I'm like the MP3s aren't playing. Yeah. Or something. Like, what's happening here? Yeah.
So I'll get to beating that, but I don't want to pick up a ton of more games because I don't want to, because I got to beat God Eater 3. That is a great game, I got to say.
Is it good?
Yeah, I'm really surprised by it. You know, I'm not a huge Monster Hunter guy, but this is like, imagine if Monster Hunter wasn't 50-minute missions and instead they're 5-minute burst missions, really high action, flashy combos, deeper combat, not deeper, but as deep of a combat system, but with its own identity. Doesn't really stay in the shadow of Monster Hunter, but is a Monster Hunter game. That's kind of what you're getting here. Not that great of a story, but not bad by any means. Serviceable, as we mentioned earlier, with other games. It's a really good surprise this year. I don't think it'll crack any Game of the Year list. Maybe like my hidden gem list, but that'll probably be it. And then I've been playing Dead or Alive 6, which is a good fighter.
I like it. Yeah, but I will tell you this. They were like, we've toned down the boob physics. And
no,
I'm like, dude, wow, what did they look like if that's toned down?
Yeah.
The first time a character, the first girl walks out, you're like, damn, son.
Yeah, you're like, what the
damn. Yeah, yeah, it's crazy.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, I've played Dead or Alive since the third one on the original Xbox. I was kind of underwhelmed by 5. But 6, I really like as a fighter. I really, really like Dead or Alive 6. It's obviously, I'm not touching its story. There's no reason. I do not play Dead or Alive for the story. I play for like the high impact fighting combos, accessibility, but depth. And this one has easily, hands down, the best tutorial of any fighting game I've played. Hands down.
I will say this, though. I don't know if you agree, but so I noticed one thing. The zoom in mode when you smash somebody, the extreme punch at the end of the combo, it doesn't zoom in on 2 of the girl characters ever. So it zooms in on everybody but 2. And I had heard that it was going to be only the girls were not going to have zoom ins at all, which so it's noticeable. So I think it's the dark, long, thin haired Asian girl. It won't zoom in on her no matter what. So it'll do a flash, which I thought was weird. But secondarily, I think their input's a little weird in the game. And maybe this is me, but I had a problem understanding the tutorial, the difference between away and B and away plus B.
Gotcha.
And then does that make sense? So, dude, yeah. The tutorial for Zhang Li or whatever his name is, the Bruce Lee ripoff.
Oh, Zhang Li, yeah.
Fuck, dude. I was in there for 3 hours. I was like on move 45 going, what the fuck is it asking me for?
Yeah, yeah. I get that. I agree with that.
Okay,
cool. I think it's got a fantastic tutorial, but I think sometimes
it does.
The button inputs, because there's the tutorial, then there's command training and combo challenges. So
yeah.
If you don't do the full tutorial, which is like a 40-step breakdown, and it's got every single mechanic.
Every single mechanic.
Which is why I think it's fantastic. But if you don't remember something from that, and then you go into the combo challenge, which I think is what you were doing.
Maybe that's what I did. Maybe I did that.
Yeah. Because then you'll see, like, H plus K, and that means hold and kick, which is on the square and the circle button, which is across the controller from one another. So you're like, how do I press those two at the same time?
Oh, dude, yeah.
And then you realize, oh, if I press R2, that's H and K.
Yeah.
And then you realize, like, I think punch and kick can be done through L1. And sometimes it'll say, like, towards, and then do a punch and kick, and then punch, punch, kick. But all the inputs are cramped together. So it looks like it's saying, like, forward punch, and then
punch, punch. Dude,
yeah.
I was so stressed out. And Jung has the thing where you can do the dragon stance. So you, like, punch, punch, forward, punch, away, and he won't punch. He'll go, like, wah! And he'll like drop. And I'm telling you, dude, I love that you can press the right thumbstick down and see it right away. It'll say, do you want to see it demo? You right stick
right,
and he instantly does move.
Yep.
But I was watching it going, I'm not even doing the first, whatever I'm doing isn't even indicating the first move he's doing. Like, I'm not doing the move right. And that was the only issue I really had with that game. Other than I think you and I talked about Soul Calibur having the clash that you didn't love.
Like that at all. Yeah.
I'm not as in love with the, what's the button? I think it's the bumper, whatever the big 4-hit combo is. It's a little too, it felt a little too strong. It seemed easier to hit even on 10 difficulty on the CPU than I thought it was going to be. And they could hit me easier than I thought I should be hit. But
what I noticed with this game is you can get away with going like triangle, 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 and then R1, 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 and you can chain together all those hits. But what I realized is the game's damage, this is why the tutorial was so good, because you go, oh, because they show like critical stuns, they show, once you hit this certain attack, if you keep switching up your inputs, you do more chip damage over time.
Yeah.
So I could do a 7-hit combo of triangle, 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 circle, 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 and boom, I knock out an eighth of his health bar. I'm like, yeah, 7-hit combo. That felt great, which is why I said accessible, explosive action feels good to fight as. But then there's depth where if I go, like, up kick, then towards punch, punch, away punch, back
you do
kick,
more.
Kick, do more damage, and it feels good because I invested in that. And so that's what separates you from a spammer versus someone who knows what they're doing. Plus, when you incorporate the hold system, which is all counters, where if you know someone's spamming that same body punch – You just press back square, you flip them right over, you do a ton of damage to them.
Did you feel that the counter was a little wide for the timing, though? So I was able to counter people pretty fucking easy.
It was, but I think there's two things that I like about it is because maybe they didn't change it. Could just be me because I play a lot of fighters now more than I ever have, so maybe I've just gotten better. But I wouldn't say I'm a prodigy by any means, by the way. So that's why I say I feel they increased the window because in 5, it seemed very, very short. And you get punished if you get caught in a window really badly.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you go for a counter and you miss and someone does a throw attack on you, you lose literally a quarter of your health bar.
Yeah.
So you can really pay the price, which is why I think they increased the window. And also, I think it allowed for a little more, just a little bit more speed in the punches because you have to really know the character who you're fighting against to know the animation that might come next so you know where to hold. And if you don't know where to hold, there's a lot of quick, like, bang, bang, bang. And it's like, fuck, if I hold twice and I get hit both times, I just lost a ton of health. So
I love the feints, too, and, like, the ability to fucking cancel and all that stuff. Yeah. It was a little shorter of a cancel than I thought it was going to be time-wise, which is fine. But I also liked there's a lot of moves in that, like you said, where their animation will trick you into thinking the hit's going to be on, like, the one. In martial arts, we use a 1-beat or a 2-beat. But it's like, you'll go, oh, that's a 1-beat hit, like it's a normal jab, but instead it's like it looks like a jab and then he spins.
Right.
And if you are thinking it's a jab and it looks like a jab until he like goes whoop and then spins and you're like, fuck, that's not the jab, that's the back spin kick or the back spin four knuckle fist. I really dug that. I also like the level transitions. Even though there weren't as I feel like I'm going crazy. I thought the past games had a level transition for every level, but I think I was wrong. I only got like out of all the of all the levels, I only think I hit like 5 or 6 where you go to another, where you fall and go to another, like you get attacked by the squid.
There is one stage that's huge, which I thought was
the squid
really
one.
Cool. It was one where you start off in a street and then you can kick someone over like one of the
berms,
cylinder blocks that you put on the edge of a road. I forgot what it's called. Mm-hmm. You kick them over that, and then on the other side, it's like the outside of a movie theater, and there's like a whole dance floor, and you can like slam them on it and do bonus damage, and it turns into like a whole different fight, which I really liked. There's one where you're on like the top of a building, and I lost a fucking fight online last night because of this, because I was kicking someone's ass, and the motherfucker jump kicked me, and I just rolled down this scaffolding for like an hour.
I know that. I know the one. I know the one. Yeah.
And I fucking lost. I was like, God damn it. But yeah, some of them are like, there's one in the jungle where you can get kicked into a, I think it's like a giant dinosaur egg. And when you hit into it, it cracks. And then a pterodactyl like comes in and
never
picks
saw
up that,
that
person.
One.
Yeah.
Never saw
and
that.
And then there's the one in the parking lot where you start off in this little lot. And if you hit someone against the car, it blows up. And you can actually time it, stun them, and then kick them again into the next car. And
yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, so I think what they did was they shortened, they made the stages bigger and added more transitions, but I think there's less stages because a lot of them are like tight rings that do a lot of bonus damage if you hit your opponent into the wall, which I think adds a little more tensity. But it hasn't really set the world on fire review-wise. Not a lot of people are crazy about it. I really like it.
I know. I saw that. I liked it. I didn't get a chance to review it. I did get a review copy. I just didn't have the chance. Mm. And I agree. I actually think it's a really, really competent, if not very fun fighter. I haven't got to play with friends
it's
on
the best
the same
fighter
couch
this year. I mean, when you got Jump Force, it's the only other one.
True.
All right. Like, I think it's the strongest one.
I will say their cosmetics leave a lot to be desired.
Yeah.
If there's anything in that game that I was not happy with, it was when I realized that even while doing amazing, it was going to take a long time to unlock stuff and wasn't really in love with most of the unlocks overall. Mm-hmm. Like,
I think
they just didn't grab
me. I agree. Yeah, and I think a lot of that banks on how much I say this in the least disrespectful way, but like fan servicey stuff you like, because some of the objects you'll see and you'll be like, oh man, like, oh shit, you know, because like I don't care, but like I have some friends who are like, oh shit, let's go, I'm gonna get her in that, and I'm like, all right, like, go for it, man, I don't care. But You know, I think that's the type of stuff that sell at least some people on the game. Some people so, gets,
sure. sells
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and I think some people, there are some outfits in that game that are really cool, but you know, some of them are more like nostalgia evoking. Like for me, I played a ton of DMC3 when I was younger. And I remember like Hitomi, who I use still to this day, they have her classic outfit, you know, with like a white tank top, pink strap, like boot cut jeans. And I'm like, I want to get that because that reminds me of when I first started playing this series, right? So that's kind of like where I stand on it. But I agree. I think the cosmetics aren't personally that great.
I did get the dude, Chun-Li. I got his little fucking Bruce Lee. It was from Enter the Dragon. They were wearing like, dude, I'm telling you, it's basically a jock strap with a black patch over your dick.
Ugh.
And I got that. That was the first one I got. It's so wrong. It's so wrong. But it's hilarious because speaking of fan service, like when we saw that, everybody knew the Bruce Lee one in the yellow suit. Everybody knows that one.
Right.
But this one's a little less known and is still from a popular movie, but not necessarily the most popular fight. And I got it. It was so wrong when he walks out and he's doing split kicks and shit. And you're like, seriously, man, like that's just not right. But yeah, it's good. I do find that it's a little. I also find that I thought the 3D movement, and this might be the best 3D movement in a fighter in a long time. It was easier to initiate. Yeah, and I loved that because I hate it in most games.
Yeah.
In most games, double tapping does. You're always wondering if it's going to work right. And in this one, I never felt like, oh, he's not going to move 3D-wise. Instead, they almost always did.
Yep, I agree. And it felt like 3D mechanics were useful. If you press, like, towards the screen or away from the screen, R1, you'll, like, sidestep. And I realized how many people just fight straight, like, 2D.
Yeah.
And if you're sidestepping, you can really get some extra hits on. So, yeah, I like the game a lot, personally. And that's what I was sort of getting at when we were talking about DMC5 is, I got these games I'm playing. I got to beat Metro. I think once I beat Metro, I'll pick this one up. But I just wanted to know if it was really like all it was, you know, cracked up to be based off what
I could not believe, dude. I could not believe the reviews. Like, because I thought it was just me. You know how it is. If you've got the game and you're not really supposed to, other than you and I, and that's pretty much it that I talk to. I don't talk to people about the games usually. You know, you're usually pretty quiet about it. Yeah, and I was on my own, and I was just like, I thought it was awesome, but I was all, it's going to be weird to see, you know, there's certain issues. Like I said, the level design is not amazing. It will not light any fucking things on fire. But I was really surprised when everybody went live to see that, like, there was a very, you know how you always have the one guy who reviews it a 2 out of 10?
Yeah, I like that one outlier. Yep.
And a 10, and there's always the 2 out of 10. This was the first one where I looked and I was like, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Like the low is a 7 or a 6.5, and even there, like, this is actually really good, which surprised me.
Yeah,
in a good way.
I'm glad it's doing well, though. Yeah, it's mm-hmm. one that for those who are wondering about my coverage, without getting too detailed, pretty much myself and a lot of other creators were like denied a copy for limited availability. So pretty much like I was planning on hoping to review that one, but there's been some changes with review copies as of late. Like we heard Sekiro is not going to, according to Spawnwave, he put it on Twitter, that Sekiro's not going to get review copies.
Sure.
Yeah, and I saw that, and I was like, man, they really, I feel like the review process is getting more and more neutered.
I thought it was me, by the way, because I was talking to somebody, and I was like, hey, I'm trying to schedule out, and they were like, well, it sounds like it's, and they were like, it sounds like it's not coming out until a day or so. So I told them my Discord, I'm like, probably journalists only. Looks like, you know, no YouTubers most likely, or very few, or myself maybe not. And then, like, everybody else I was talking to was like, no, dude, I just got it too. I just got informed. Like, it's, I'm going to be honest, Maddie, we can talk about it or we don't have to talk about it. But I have some issues with the preview coverage, in fact. Some pretty heinous issues with the preview coverage. And I'm wondering if this change, since it happened the same day the preview coverage, is connected. But it could just be me.
I mean, yeah, you can go and do it, by all means.
So,
we don't dance around topics on this show.
We don't, but this is going to sound weird coming from me. IGN's got the best video by far, first of all, which you can't believe I'm saying.
For
Sekiro's preview.
Gotcha.
It's like night and day. And I saw 3 videos where people are like, you can't do this, it's super hard, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. IGN's video shows not only that what the other videos said were wrong, completely wrong, like not maybe wrong, but what they were saying you cannot do, you absolutely can. But the IGN video, the guy was very good. And it, of all people, one of my Discord people was like, people were passing a couple of videos around and they were like, stealth is hard, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, okay, you know, it's a super hard game. And then this video came up. And it was one of those moments where you're like, did they play two fucking different games? Because this person over here or these people are saying, you can't do this, you can't do that, you need to do this. And the IGN video, I can't believe I'm saying this. The IGN video, the guy was really good. And he was not only really good, he showed by being good and doing particular things that what many people are supposed to know what they're talking about were saying was absolutely wrong and factually wrong. Gotcha. So, for example, there were multiple people saying, you can't do this kind of role. You have to do this and this. And the IGN guy was like doing that all the time. He's like, fucking, yes, you can. And it was weird. And somebody was like, oh, you can't do stealth. It's the game's super hard. Stealth barely works. This guy stealth three people in a row. Like, just, and I'm like, and I swear to shit, Maddie, it was almost like they had seen the other video and were like, nope, you're wrong. Mm-hmm. And done their, that's not what happened because they all released at the same time. But it was funny. And I implore anybody, whoever you follow, to it's going to sound weird, check out the IGN video because, I mean, everybody in my Discord is like, what the fuck? Like, one person looked like they didn't know what they were doing, and this person looked like they had actually paid attention. And it was, there was a lot of misinformation.
I think this brings up a couple of things with preview events. I'll start off with number one, is misinformation, I think, is so unacceptable because you have access to developers and people who, yeah, maybe they have PR-loaded statements, but you have access to information. So if you're unsure about something, you don't draw your own conclusion. You literally ask someone there.
You literally ask.
I literally always bring a notepad. I've been to multiple preview events. I bring a notepad, and if I got a question, I write that fucking answer down. Because, you know, sometimes the gameplay you get doesn't show it. It's not like I'm in my bedroom here where I'm making a video, and I'm like, oh, I don't have gameplay to represent this that I'm talking about. I'll go fire up the game and grab that because I know it's there. Sometimes you miss your chance in word of mouth. If you just assume that's not there, it's better just to confirm that. So I don't know why these people go to preview events and don't confirm information and just go based off assumption alone because something doesn't work out that way. Number two, I think hard video games bring out the worst in coverage because
so do I.
When people don't understand something, they get mad. And when they get mad, they feel it's like almost justified to shit on a game pretty much. Not saying that that's what the coverage was, but they don't care nearly as much if they get it wrong because something about hard games brings out the worst in people. I don't know what the fuck it is.
Or they use it as an excuse.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, oh, it's hard, so you can't do this or that. And I'm telling you, dude, I mean, so I don't know if you remember, but I'm not actually super high on Sekiro. I never have been. I've never been incredibly excited at all.
I'm excited. And I don't know how to word it. It's Activision. I'm not.
Yeah, and I'm a fan of Neo, for instance. Same. I really liked a lot of Neo. So I was not excited about Sekiro, and I saw three videos on the preview day. And then I saw this video, and I quite literally, my interest rose fucking 50 points. It went from like, because they were saying like, oh, it's super, it's like, and I guess they've said it's hard, but I'm going to tell you right now, Maddie, every time somebody tells me their game is hard, I don't know if I'm motor set to go, okay, bitch, or what. But every time that's come up, it's never been as hard, anywhere near as hard as they've said it was. And that is exactly what this indicates to me, is that I hope people don't go into it going, oh, man, it's going to be fucking almost impossible, because what I saw showed that it's going to be exactly what we should have expected prior to that statement, is that it's going to require technique and a thought process. But they were showing animations that, dude, my grandmother could have fucking jumped out of the way. Like, no lie. And there's nothing wrong with that because they hit you, they do a ton of damage. That's the way it should be. But I don't like preview events, man. I'm starting to get even more negative towards them because I also have been to ones where they're like, please don't say, you know, they don't say, don't say anything negative, but they're, you know, it's like, oh, well, everything will be fixed. And you're all, no, it won't. It's not everything's ever been fixed at any preview event, right? Look at you doing Metro. You had some issues, some stuck. And some were fixed, but some were not. And to me, I'm really starting to feel that that's where a lot of the problems are coming from, is these preview events where there people aren't checking, like you said, ask a fucking question, and
it's
don't
like school,
always
believe. It reminds me of school.
It does.
Raise your hand, ask the teacher. It's the same concept here at a preview event.
Yeah, and it does the game a disservice, because I'm going to tell you, the difference between the footage was fucking night and day. One made it look like a janky mess, which was easier to see the problems in. And the other was a person playing a game. And you were like, I get it now. And now, again,
I had a thought.
It really raised my level.
I had a thought. And this I'm not going all conspiracy mode, but I know there's a pipeline to how content's produced when it comes to a big website, right? It's not like you or I where we're in our house, you make the video, you render the video, you make the thumbnail, you save the file, you upload it. It's all under our control. Do you think possibly what would happen here is they had an opinion, they wrote the piece, they voiced the piece, you get all the footage to support that, or you submit that, it gets approved, and then you hear from like maybe another friend in the press, like X, Y, and Z is actually like that is in the game, or that works in the game this way, and your piece is now factually incorrect. So Do you delay on a day where everyone's going to be posting their coverage and your site and your job can benefit from it, or do you provide gameplay supplementing your piece so therefore your stance is justified, so to speak? Right,
man. No way. I would not put the piece out there.
Right. No, I agree. I agree entirely. Yeah. I'm saying I would not be surprised.
I guess I wouldn't either.
Is if they had something in the pipeline, they're like, oh, fuck. All right, supply the gameplay that makes that script make the most sense, right?
Yeah, it's true. God, how do I describe it? Imagine, Maddie, if you and I were playing a game and you said there was no jump. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it's A, dude. Fucking press A. That's the way I feel I saw. And so I don't know. I don't know. And all I can say is check the – if you want to see somebody play the game very well, I can't believe I'm saying this, you should check out the IGN video, because the guy's doing some stuff that looks very fun, makes the game look much more fluid, something I've had an issue with. There's some other videos out there that call into question how it all came about and have wrong – legitimately wrong information. So it could have happened that way. It would be sad though, because it does a disservice to a game that is hinging on the very things you're saying do or don't exist. So it's not like a shooter where you can say the story's bad. Well, that's nebulous. You and I've liked different stories. This is where like this doesn't exist or this isn't possible, and somebody's like, yeah, it is. It's right there. That bothers me because I feel it does a disservice to the game. And I don't know how it ever happened. Also, you and I both know this. Don't believe the developer. Sorry.
Yeah.
Don't. I mean, I don't even think. I mean, we're not even saying they're lying. Just don't believe them.
I think back to the most recent preview event I went to, which was Fallout 76. And I was told at the event that the reason it was skipping around and not functioning properly was because it was a 2-week old build. And at launch, the build will be fully functional. And I like sat there and was like, no.
Crew 2 did their beta, and you couldn't even crew up in a game called The Crew.
Yeah.
And they were like, nah, this is a fucking month-old beta, and it wasn't. And that's why I think if you do go to the previews, make sure that whatever coverage you're giving is very, is what I saw, but, like, you almost have to say, this is what I know, and then this is some things that I think or something. Like, and I don't know, maybe there was something about this preview event that was weird, but...
If there's one thing I realized when I was going through, for example, the Reset Era thread of people's thoughts on Days Gone, it was that all of them are like press, website, website, website. And I think the only YouTuber I saw who posted something, not saying he was the only one there, but was SkillUp. It was the only one I saw who posted a video about like, here's our thoughts on Days Gone. And to me, I think that flags that a lot of companies, when you look at what happened with the review copy for not only Sekiro, but for me and some other YouTubers, Devil May Cry, I think independent creators aren't picked as often. And I'll say it in a bitchy way. You know, I'm grateful for any opportunity I get. I'll be the first I'll go to preview events. You know, I get your stance on it, but I'll go because I feel I give, you know, honest coverage and that people... I want to be there because I know situations like this Sekiro thing will happen where people will gas up a game or completely berate a game when they're incorrect. And I'm not saying that like in an opinionated way, but factually speaking, So that's why I like to go there, to those things. But I just feel like because there are people like me, plenty of people like me, who are like, I want to go to this preview event. I want to play the game. Of course, yeah, that's exciting. But I want to dissect it, see what it's all about, and report to people if they should care or not. And companies, naturally, they want as much positive PR as possible. Like a Days Gone and all the press. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Just got to take one look at that.
Yeah, it's very odd. Yeah, it's a very odd situation with Sekiro in particular. Mm. And I hope people, unfortunately, with the review thing, that even puts more, not question, like it's not conspiracy, but puts even more difficulty in ascertaining what exactly is going on with that game until after it's already available for purchase.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this before, you know, sometimes does a company, and I'm not even talking about Sekiro now, just any game, you know, do they hold off on previews and review events? That way they just sort of bank on the laziness of a person who's unhappy with a game too. Because like you sell it, how many steps do you have to go through to get a refund through Sony? Shit ton. So if you're ever going to get one, right? If you are even going to get one. Yeah. So it's like, you know, some of these companies, and I just mentioned them just because, again, not connected to Sekiro. It just, all this stuff all happening at once makes me, like, it makes me frustrated, not in a conspiratorial way, but in just in a, God damn it. Like, I would like for people to know the data, as much data as possible before a purchase.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's not even, like, I don't even care if it's mine. I just want the fucking, like, that's why I'm saying go check IGN, of all people, or all companies, go check their, because they showed something that was accurate. And it's like, to me, that's far more important than, like, me getting whatever thousands of views. Like, shit, go.
I do the same shit all the time.
Cover,
like,
the game.
Mainly, like, I'll shout people out in my gameplay video or my videos in general. Like, I'll put the source of, like, if I borrow some gameplay or something like that, or if I get an inspiration from some idea, I'll cite who it's from. But more than anything on Twitch, like, when I'm talking about just, you know, because it's much more casual, it's much, like, you know, it's not like a video where it's got to have a focus, in my opinion.
Right.
Where on Twitch, like, people, you know, I'll talk about other creators and all their stuff, and, like, I'm usually directing people out of my channel, which I don't think is very business savvy, but, like, at the end of the day, if someone's providing, like, a good service, you know, I've been covering a bunch of Borderlands 3, I'll be like, yeah, go check out Submato, because, like, he does good stuff,
exactly,
too, and he's growing. Exactly. And it's like, go give him a look, you know, he does a lot of Borderlands 3 stuff. So it's, you know, that's the type of stuff I feel that benefits everybody, because, you know, while gaming is competitive, I don't think... in a sense competitive, I should say, I don't think that our platform's competitive, where we benefit most off just working together, being friends, like humans, you know?
Yeah, it works so much better if you don't treat it like some kind of boxing match.
Exactly.
A lot of people do, and my hope is that, you know, they maybe, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe they decided they didn't need to do early review because they're very, very, very happy. That's totally fine too.
Could
nothing
be a
wrong with
situation.
That.
I think that's
could. Yep, the one it that could be just of. Timing, development. It's like, oh, we're only going to be ready 1 or 2 days ahead. Also, we've seen where somebody has told us directly they're not doing early copies, and then 3 or 4, 5, 6 days ahead, we do get one because the devs are happy. That could also be happening too. Mm-hmm. Very easily could be happening. So I'm just crossing my fingers because. Again, I went from not actually being interested in this to going, whoa, when I saw a video I didn't expect to do that from, just because of the history of Cuphead and other things where you're like, know.
100%.
So my fingers are crossed on that.
All right. Time will tell if Sekiro pans out. Now we shift over to our final topic of the show, which is Nintendo mobile games. I thought this one was really interesting. I don't think there's a lot to go off of here, but it's still a really interesting stance, I guess would be the best way to put it. So the report is Nintendo requests mobile game partners prevent players from spending too much. From spending too much. Mobile games. How fucking insane. Okay, so according to a report from the Wall Street Journal, Nintendo has prevented partners from going too far with certain revenue models to prevent players from spending too much on their games. Nintendo's chief concern appears to be maintaining brand image and worrying that pursuing whales, a popular term for players that spend exponentially more money than most users, will make Nintendo look craven rather than their normal family-friendly reputation. In the report, CyberAgent Inc., a parent company of Cygames, which co-developed Dragalia Lost with Nintendo, confirmed that Nintendo has been preventing them from using tactics they know will make more money. God, that sounds... That sounds venomous right there, bro. They're like,
it does. It does.
We know how to make more. They're not letting us.
Yeah, exactly.
Holy shit. Okay. Nintendo was not interested in making a large amount of revenue from a single smartphone game, a cyber agent official told Wall Street Journal. If we managed the game alone, we would have made a lot more. The official also confirmed that Dragalia Lost is performing under expectations in revenue per player, adding that Nintendo asked the company to alter in-game lotteries in response to players complaining it was too difficult to unlock rare characters. Nintendo themselves have indicated that most of their smartphone offerings are not performing well on their own. Miyamoto admitted that the fixed cost model for Super Mario Run did not produce what they would call a success, but cautioned even then to avoid exploitive pricing models at all costs. Similarly, or perhaps conversely, Nintendo has seen quite a bit of success from the gacha-like Fire Emblem Heroes, which seems to be their biggest mobile success story. Their next mobile game, Mario Kart Tour, has been delayed into the summer. Nintendo hasn't detailed the monetization model for that game yet, but they have referred to it as free to start, which aligns with Super Mario Run's model. Man, that that cracks me up what the cyber agent official said. Nintendo is not interested in making a large amount of revenue from a single smartphone game. Holy fuck. Imagine that, bro. Holy shit. I don't know why. I get such a kick out of that.
Makes me wonder if, like, they're trying to make sure that they don't... I wonder if a lot of these companies are starting to get a little nervous because of all the legalities and stuff, and so they're like, we need to push back so that...
boxes and how those are getting shut down.
Yeah, because I don't know if you heard today, but somebody brought up today that that people in the government were saying we need to start looking at Steam and remove and controlling Steam. Wow. Because of a game that was going to come out on it, which didn't, by the way. The system worked exactly how it was supposed to. But that worries me, because you don't want state regulation. And funny enough, Japan has a bunch of regulation, and they probably don't want more. And right. So it makes sense in the long run to go, dude, don't make it super difficult, because if you do and the government steps in, the government doesn't fucking waste time, Maddie. Like, the government's like, fuck you. Down. Oh, dude, yeah, they're like, oh, Nevada's the only place where fucking, you know, like, gambling's legal here or whatever. You know, they're just like, no, no one else can. You're done. Mm-hmm. And so to me, I think that these companies, not in a compassionate way, are looking at it and going, fuck, like, we don't want people stepping in. So let's sort of control it. It sounds funny because you rarely ever hear that shit. But I think it's sort of cool that, you know, companies are sort of eyeing it. It sort of sucks because it's a weird, let's slowly bleed them, you know, kind of way. But
it's very strange because it's almost like they're maintaining a free market but controlling their market at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
It's very, just what I'm saying, it's very weird.
It's weird. It's weird.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like that. I guess Nintendo is in a situation where they don't need to gut people for cash either. They have plenty of money to sit on, where I think they're taking, and I don't say this because they're not gutting people for cash, but I think they're taking the right approach in the sense of they are clearly experimenting a lot. They're like, let's try a paid model for fixed cost. Let's try free to play, which with rare characters and building off of that, which is Fire Emblem Heroes. And that seems to be doing well. Apparently I heard that made like 35 to 40 million and they're like, yeah, I guess that's a success. I'm like, Jesus Christ. If that's not successful, I don't know what the fuck is. Cause I can't imagine that's a game that cost a ton to make, but I guess they're looking for like that mobile hit, like that thing that is a Fallout Shelter, I guess would be the first one I go to. I don't play a ton of mobile games. So I guess like maybe a Marvel Strike Force, I wouldn't call that a hit. But I know that's a popular one, a Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes.
I told you that was the game. I told you Marvel was the game I was trying to tell you about, but I didn't know you were talking about the same game as me. Did I ever tell you that?
You never did.
About five podcasts ago when you were talking about that game, I was like, there's this one game I played and I thought it was Net Marble. And I was like, it's got blah, 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 and it's like this and this. And then I went back, listened to the podcast, and I was like, wait. And then I looked on my phone, and I'm like, that's the fucking – we're playing the same exact fucking game. We were just explaining two different parts of the exact game.
That's wild.
And I love it. I love it as well. I bet you that's a hit, though.
I hope
you don't – you, dude, that seems – it's been around for a while, and it's fucking really good.
They keep adding characters right after movies release.
Yeah, right? Like, they're not, that game seems like it's doing well. Of course, I said the same thing about Marvel Heroes, and they shut that one down.
That one, dude, I have that sitting in my PS4 library.
Me too. So not like, deleting it.
Yeah, I'm just like, yeah. No, it's staying there. I refuse to let it die.
I agree. I will not delete that from my Xbox. Actually loved that game.
Dude, that's the thing. I remember to a fucking T the night I said, I think it was August of, when did the game get shut down? Was it 2 years ago?
2 years ago now, yeah.
And when was it? I think, because I think I said this.
Yeah, it was fall. It was fall.
I think I said, because no, we started, okay, it was like July 2017. I was just like, yo, imagine if they did Diablo cross Marvel. And then I went to free to play because I had nothing to play. It was the summer.
Nothing and there it was out.
And there I see Marvel Heroes. And I look at the fucking screenshots. I'm like, overhead, beat them up, loot, powers. I was like, oh, fuck. I was like, this is what I dreamed of. That shit was so good. I thought the cutscenes, like the comic book style cutscenes, were great. That was such an underrated game.
I still want you to try out DC Universe Online. Because, dude, it's basically the same thing, but more of a World of Warcraft viewpoint, third person.
I played it really long ago.
Because it was a PS3 game. It was a PS3 game.
I played it on PC, and I think, how long has it been around?
Oh, 2013, I think. So
I had to have played
6, 7, yeah.
Yeah,
but they updated the graphics recently, and I still play it. It's the only, what do you call it, I get, the only replacement I get for the Heroes game.
Gotcha.
Because there isn't any other game like that Heroes game.
Mm-hmm.
There really isn't. And, like, it's so weird, dude, because they don't have the marketing, right? You don't hear about DC Universe Online unless I'm talking about it, right? You don't.
That is
there's no
entirely
commercials
accurate,
for that shit,
actually.
Right? Yeah, and I didn't hear about fucking Heroes until I'm pretty sure it was a patron who wanted to do a game together. And matter of fact, his name's Jason. I remember. And he was like, dude, I want to play this Heroes game. And I was like, all right. And we played it. And I'm like, the fuck? This game is awesome. Like, there's no one's even talking about it.
I remember I downloaded it. I played it. I was like, dude, this is good. My friend Brian downloads it. He plays it. He's like, wow. All right.
Yeah.
And then. Yeah. My friend Connor hops on, and my friend Never hops on. They're like, okay, I like this. Now, I stay playing it. Brian stayed playing it. They dropped off. But
they dropped
still,
off,
I digress. Great game. Great experience.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, Nintendo not gutting people for cash. Pretty much the
gist
of
good.
The story. Yeah, no,
it's
no
good regardless of the
that.
Reason, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's not much you can – we'll never know what they were thinking, but I think overall it's the best plan. Don't gut people.
Agreed. All right. Well, that'll do it for episode 193 of the Ham Radio Podcast. We hope all of you enjoyed this listen, and we will catch you guys next week. Peace out.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.